Today's podcast is brought to you by Newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, Newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, Newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at Newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night. Sometimes going to the grocery store can be chaotic. There doesn't seem to be enough time to check the list, make sure everything is there, search for the best prices, and take the time to make sure you got the best quality meat. So let ButcherBox help you out. Giving you peace of mind, ButcherBox delivers high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust straight to your door. No grocery carts required. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or hormones, 100% grass-fed, free-range, and crate-free. What more can you ask for? What about free shipping, customized box plans, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, tips, and tricks? You really can't go wrong with ButcherBox. Sign up at butcherbox.com/morningcup and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/morningcup and use code morningcup to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird...
Morning.
Cup of murder.
Today's story is like so many others. But one would hope that, in learning about each of these events, maybe one day we can change the future. On December 1st, 1997, a young boy brought a gun into school and aimed it at a group of classmates. In his wake, he left three dead and five injured in one of this country's many, many school shootings. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. On the morning of December 1st, 1997, 14-year-old Michael Carneal wrapped up a rifle with a blanket and brought it with him into school. Telling people who inquired that it was an art project, and with a .22 caliber pistol secured in his backpack, Michael put some earplugs into his ears, pulled out that pistol, and shot eight rounds in quick succession at a youth prayer group gathering in Heath High School in Paducah, Kentucky. In an event that has now become so commonplace, the boy, with three spare clips that he could have used, willingly put the gun down after being spoken to by a member of the group named Benjamin Strong. Once the pistol was safely on the ground, Michael surrendered himself to the school's principal, looked at Ben, and said, "Kill me, please. I can't believe I did that." The principal, who would later say that Michael apologized as if this was a minor offense, locked the freshman student inside of his office and waited for the police to arrive. Michael would later tell one of the teachers that the shooting felt like he was in a dream. In total, five students gathering in the lobby that day were injured, with three more, all females, succumbing to their injuries. Their names were Nicole Hadley, a 14-year-old freshman who had just moved to Paducah the year before and whose parents donated her organs in the midst of their tragedy; Jessica James, a 17-year-old student who was a member of the marching band; and Casey Steger, a 15-year-old honor student and clarinetist in the band who hoped to be a police officer when she grew up. All three died in various different hospitals. According to some of the sources, Michael walked into school that day carrying more than just a rifle and a pistol. Some say it was actually two rifles and two shotguns, in addition to the pistol he used, and all were stolen from a neighbor's garage on Thanksgiving Day. In trying to understand what motivated the teenage boy to commit such a devastating crime, investigators, of course, looked into all the facets of his young life. By all accounts, Michael Corneal, born July 1st, 1983, came from a pretty normal family. And, unlike some of the school shooters before him and after him, the boy was not considered a social outcast. He also wasn't considered exceptionally popular either. According to Michael's own claims, one of his earliest memories involved him being left out in preschool and feeling as though he had no friends. In second grade, the boy he considered to be his only friend made fun of him for being poor. And in the third and fourth grade, he was in a relationship with a girl named Jessica who, according to one of the sources, was the same Jessica he shot and killed that day in December. I could not, however, find any way to corroborate this claim. Regardless, the sources go on to claim that the girl once stabbed Michael in the hand with a pencil, but he didn't feel like he could leave her because she was the only person he really spoke to. He went on to claim that some of his strongest memories involved torment at the hands of his classmates, like when they stuck frog parts on his shoulders during the dissection day, or when some of them tossed his prize class project off the roof. He was hit, bullied, and once failed by a teacher for proposing the idea of building jails underwater. Despite all of this, Michael tried desperately to fit in, an effort that was seen as weakness and only escalated the teasing to include rumors that he was gay. Things got so bad that in the seventh grade, he contemplated suicide. And just a year before the shooting, he sliced open his arm with a sewing needle when an attempt to befriend some of his classmates backfired. These are the memories that stuck with him, and the memories that shaped him into the boy he was when he brought those firearms into the school. However, because Michael was a self-professed atheist, this became the overshadowing issue when it came to the press and the local rumor mill. According to some of the other students, just weeks before the shooting, Michael stole a .38 caliber handgun from his parents' room and attempted to sell it. One student took the gun and threatened to call the police if he didn't hand it over. He also told some of his classmates that, quote, something big is going to happen on Monday, but no one took him seriously. While things at home seemed to be a bit more stable than at school, Michael seemed to also be suffering from some undiagnosed mental illness that caused him to jump up, grab his pocket knife, and go check on his mother to make sure that she was all right, and had him stashing kitchen knives under his mattress for protection. His fears that something was out to get him and his family were so severe that he couldn't even sleep in his own room and often chose instead the family room where he could be closer to the rest of the family and would cover the air vents because he believed that someone was watching him. Following the shooting, Michael was diagnosed with schizotypal personality disorder and dysthymia. Kathleen O'Connor, who treated the boy while incarcerated at the Northern Kentucky Youth Development Center, initially agreed with the diagnoses, but later said it was more likely that he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia instead. Since being placed in custody, Michael has been hospitalized several times due to psychosis and was prescribed both an antidepressant and an antipsychotic. In October of 1998, Michael Corneal pleaded guilty but mentally ill, and, under the agreement, he was sentenced to life with a chance of parole in 25 years. This would allow him to receive the treatment that he needed and, hopefully, make his transition into parole as smooth as possible. In 2007, Michael filed an appeal claiming that he was too mentally ill to plead guilty all those years before and requested a retrial. His request was denied, and in 2012, he attempted to withdraw the plea once again and was, again, denied. His potential parole date was supposed to arrive on November 25th, 2022, but on September 26th, 2022, the parole board unanimously denied his bid, and he was ordered to serve out the remainder of his life sentence. The families of the deceased later agreed to a $42 million settlement from Michael, but because he had no assets at the time of the settlement, the case was turned over to his family's insurance company, Kentucky Farm Bureau, who has insisted repeatedly that they are not liable for his actions. This, however, wasn't the only time the parents of the victims attempted to take someone to court over their shared tragedy. In early 1999, the parents of the three victims, represented by Jack Thompson, filed a $33 million lawsuit against not Michael Corneille, but two internet pornography sites, several computer game companies, and the makers and distributors of the 1994 movie Natural Born Killers and the 1995 movie The Basketball Diaries. They claimed, like so many have in the past and in the future, that the media violence inspired their daughter's killer and should therefore be held responsible. The case was dismissed in 2002 when the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that it was, quote, simply too far a leap from shooting characters on a video screen to shooting people in a classroom. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear a terrible thing happened on December 2nd. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.